good afternoon. Today is Friday, February the 1st, 32nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the city of Eureka. It looks like he's feeling a wee bit more comfortable in the surroundings. Bill Panos. Hey, guy.
How are you?
Good. Let's see. You got blue and red on. So that doesn't indicate a certain team. You got rust on. That's not going in a certain direction. Nobody knows who you're rooting for on Sunday.
Oh, I'm a third-generation Californian. I'm rooting for the 49ers.
Well, there's a lot of kids that are playing on the Baltimore club that came from California, too. So you
That's
never
true.
Know.
That's true. And they're a good team. Know. They're a good team.
Yeah, yeah. So just kind of checking in.
All right.
Of course, I'm not wearing anything of color either, so what the heck. I'm rooting for the slugs.
Yeah, for the green.
I got the green, the green and the brown.
Team,
yeah.
That's right.
What'd you bring along with you there? Is that homework or what?
It's just me studying. I've been a good student over the last few weeks, and I'm going to continue to be a good student over the next few months and years to learn about the people and the community of Eureka. And
good
so
deal.
That's
so,
what I've been doing.
So we will talk about what he has learned when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:14. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Stephen Wright. I think he was a comedian.
He was.
Okay. Did he die?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think he is a comedian.
He is a comedian.
Let's call
okay.
him that.
Proper tense. I have an existential map. It says, "You are here," written all over it.
That's good.
Yeah, you like that one, huh?
I do.
So have you had to leave town yet on any of these meetings with this group or meetings with that group statewide?
I did, actually. I had to go to Cloverdale last week overnight for a board meeting for the city's risk management JPA, Joint Powers Authority. And, you know, I wanted to, it's interesting that you ask about it because as I left, I had been very focused here in the Humboldt Bay Eureka area for ever since December, the beginning of December. I've not left. I've been really focused on work and not really left the area. And this was my first time out of the area. It was palatable leaving the forested area and going down into Cloverdale and the temperature changing by 10 to 15 degrees, the humidity dropping. It was very different. It was noticeably different. And in fact, I missed it a little bit and I was glad to come back.
One of the things that I think strikes a lot of us, and I don't know if Cloverdale in winter probably isn't the best example of it, but you go to a Santa Rosa and you see things going on. There's raw wood. You hear pneumatic hammers. A sense of stuff. And then you come into town and somewhere around the Herrick Overpass, you see the first hitchhikers with their signs. And then you keep coming a little bit more. And then you get the guys walking across the street. And you turn up and you see the guy. I mean, you know the scenario and how it plays out. Or you stay on it and you see the empties in downtown. This was your first trip out. So probably didn't strike you as much. But how do we make, or can a city make itself appear attractive? Or is it the businesses in the town that make the town attractive?
Well, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. I mean, I think that a community's aesthetic is part endemic. I mean, it's here. I mean, you can't, one of the things I've said to groups that I've been speaking with is that you can't shake our location. We have a very beautiful place here to live and to work and to raise our families. I was just on the bay, Humboldt Bay, this last week for a tour, and the city and the community and the area look completely different from the water than it does from the land. And so it has this in sort of endemic beauty about it. But when you get to, you know, the areas that you're talking about, the areas of town, downtown, Broadway, those areas, and some of the other communities, a lot of it is about the aesthetics. A lot of it is about the roads. A lot of it is about the businesses. And, you know, it takes a lot of effort on the part of a lot of people. Last night I was at the Chamber of Commerce annual dinner.
Get Government Guy of the Year?
I did not.
So they're not kissing up that much yet?
No.
Okay.
But our
Jay's trying, I know.
Our great chief, Merle Harpum, did win an award from the Chamber of Commerce, and a very deserving award. And it was great to see him there, and great for me to see him get the award. But it takes groups like the Chamber of Commerce. It takes groups like the downtown groups. It takes groups like the Henderson Center folks. It takes a lot of different groups that are focused on their various parts of the community to make a community great. And then it takes individual effort. I mean, folks have to make a choice individually to keep their building nice, or keep their business nice, or keep their house nice, and make those choices. So it's really hard to answer your question directly, but I really think it's a collection of things that have to happen for a community to have the kind of aesthetic that it's looking for. But a lot of it is endemic, and here it's certainly the case.
That's what I'm thinking, Bill, is that you start out with something that really does have potential, and then you can develop the potential, or you can cover it up with so much muck and garbage that you don't see the potential anymore. And I think probably for a lot of us, been around a little bit, or we've seen the change, we're focusing on the mud and the gunk and the ugly, and we wonder if the good is still there anymore. Because what we see, you know, is not necessarily what everybody else sees, but every once in a while somebody will make comment about, oh, geez, you guys have got an awful lot of fill in the blank. Or what happened to the fill in the blank? You know, some of the old, you could say OHs, you could say Lazio, some of the old line multi-generational restaurants in the area that were destinations. You could say the Eureka Inn, I suppose, also. Gee, what happened to the blank? And things happen. It's kind of a weak response.
All of communities change. You know, they change over time. And they change in ways, one, that they are sort of destined to change to, but also that the people who live here, the citizens and the businesses, want them to change to. And every community has control over its future. We have control over our future. It's just a matter of making the choice to control the future and move it in the right way.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 424. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. Oh, you keep going from one set of eyeglasses to another? You think I'm going to look any better with either of them?
No.
Yeah, okay, good. Maybe the blindfold, the thing on the third option there, then I come out looking good.
That's right.
Oh, Bill, when you went to Cloverdale, okay, so you had a little separation anxiety. And you came back. You said that you missed the temperature, you missed a little bit of the humidity. Okay, fair enough. What did you see in Cloverdale that might be something to bring into Eureka?
Well, I met with other city managers and other community officials from the sort of the North Coast area And so it was great to see them and for us to meet and talk about what was going on in their communities. And this was a risk management meeting, so we were talking about risk liabilities and how we pay for those things and how to pool our money and our assets and those kinds of things. So it was a technical discussion about our financial situation. But I also noticed that in Cloverdale, they had done a wonderful job of really rebuilding that very small town's downtown and bringing people in that small community to a downtown that I guess had been affected by the 101 bypass. The 101 was built there and bypassed. And so they've done a wonderful job. And so I had dinner with the mayor from there, who was the former police chief, and he's a great guy. And he walked me through how they went through that process. And so it was a very useful trip, a short trip, but a useful trip.
One of the things when I think of Cloverdale, and Arcata had it also. You know, the highway used to run through town, and now you know they dug it out, and it blows through town. When I see Cloverdale, I see the housing development at the south end of town. Okay, now somebody says, oh, well, that's a retirement village. Well, you drive through there, and you know they may not be currently employed, but retiring, these guys are out there running around. It's not frail old elderly. It's folks who have some life experience doing some stuff and really engaging, and they've really changed the personality of that town. Mm. Is there any potential for something like that here?
Well, as you know, I'm just learning now about our demographics here, but as you know, we have a lot of retired folks here. We have a lot of people who are active and who are no longer working. By the way, they're a great resource for communities like ours, because a community like ours does not move forward without volunteers. And I cannot tell you how many folks on our boards and commissions and go out and work on our projects and things like that volunteer for the community and in the community every single year. And so I think that they're an important part of our community. Communities like ours and regions like ours should establish either through our general planning or through our economic development or through our long-range planning opportunities for all segments of our community, not just the retired portion of our community, but the young families, the students that are here that want to stay, the young people that want to stay, folks that are in
jobs?
With jobs. And so having options for a variety of different people, different types of folks that are looking for different opportunities. Diversity is the key in economic development. The diversity is the key in economic development for any community, including Eureka.
So as you are looking at broad brush, very general economic development, do you feel that all sectors get equal shakes?
What do you mean?
Well, it seems to me, at least the ones that I'm familiar with, and there's only about five or six communities that I'm knowledgeable enough about to feel like I know anything, is that a lot of times we focus on the boutique-y and the cutesy and the current-y and the trendy instead of really what develops broad-based employment opportunity so that we can get things going, and we support the boutique-ies, but we're also supporting and putting kids in schools. So we've got the teachers and the supply. We've got the housing industry because these people are able to purchase homes. And it may not be the 3,000 square foot home. It might be the 1,500 or the 1,200. Mm. But they're into home ownership, and now they're buying everything and they're doing this. And you get a hum rather than, yeah, Boutiqueville is wonderful, but everybody goes home at nighttime and there's nothing left on the weekend and there's nothing there at nighttime. And the schools don't exist, and it's more of an eggshell. What was the movie with Jim Carrey, where he was kind of like the boy in the bubble, but the whole thing was all orchestrated? I mean, at times, that's kind of what it feels like. Not real. How do you break through that and really have you set the table for everybody?
Well, as you said, we set the table for everybody. Diversity is the key in economic development. I was able to receive my first briefing on Prosperity 2012 2012 and from the folks that were working on that project. And they have a keen, I think they have a keen plan and a keen understanding that it needs to be a diverse economic development strategy. And there are a number of people that are working towards that. And they're at the beginning of that process to, one, finish the plan, but then the beginning of the process to implement the plan. And so I think it's going to be a long road. These things don't happen overnight. They do take a variety of different approaches. We have to be flexible enough to pivot if the economy changes or we need to change. We need to be able to change, have the ability to change direction. But we need all the sectors to move forward, not just a few. You use the word boutique. There is this element of sort of a focused custom manufacturing that could be done here and that is being done here that could be promoted. There are boutique food industries like the brewing industry and the specialized food industry. But it's a variety of different things that are going to move the economy forward.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course and extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos, the guy running the city of Eureka. I guess. Bill, when you look at our fair town, no, it's us now, not you, our town, what are the things that you see that just kind of go, you know, we really got to take care of that or this? What if you've got a checklist, and let's even forget about the money. So really, it's anything you want. What would be the top five things you would like to do, let's say, by this time next year? You have a full 12 months. So you got building seasons. You've got time possibly to get through some of the government regulatory stuff. What would be the five things that you'd like to see done in Eureka?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, it's as you know, it's up to the council for them to sort of set the agenda and my job to implement that agenda. But as I begin to start to learn more about the community, dealing with the public safety issue and really focusing in on public safety, the idea that, you know, we're going to be hiring a new police chief, the idea that public safety is the basis for economic development, it's the basis for healthy families, is the basis for having a community that we feel safe and secure in.
So you think a new chief, or is it pushed down into other areas?
It's public safety in general, and it doesn't just involve the police department. It involves the fire department. It involves our emergency preparedness and being ready for any kind of natural disaster that happens. It's just a sense of security, a community that feels secure all the time. And that is it's both a social and a psychological condition that I would want that is good for any community, and certainly that we would want to work on this idea of public security. The other is waterfront, really to bring people back to the water, and to do that is complicated. It's not simple. We've got a great start. The former city manager, David Tyson, the city council, the staff have done a great job, and the community has done a great job of supporting the idea of bringing people down to the waterfront. After that, it starts to get towards our strengths. You know, we have this amazing bay, and the idea of utilizing the bay to the best that we can, both for recreational purposes and for commercial purposes. I just, as I said earlier, I was on a tour, and not only does the community look different from the bay, but the community is different from the bay. South of the bridge, south of the Samoa Bridge, it's an amazing diverse set of both developed and undeveloped and still needing to be developed sort of activities that are going on there. And not all of it is commercial. Some of it is recreational and other kinds of things. And it's an amazing resource that we have. And I only saw half of it when I was on this on this tour, they said, well, Bill, there's this whole other half that's even south farther than we were going. And then they took me a little bit north of the Samoa Bridge, and I saw the remainder of the bay. It is an amazing natural resource and a perfect place for aquaculture and other kinds of things, commercial, but also a perfect place for recreation and those kinds of things. So going with our strengths, focusing on what our strengths are and moving forward. And then I guess the fourth I would say is working with other communities here in regional partnerships and working with our education, our school district, Eureka School District and others to move forward in a very similar fashion that we've done with our merged fire department. We have the Humboldt Bay Fire District now, and the idea of moving forward on shared services concepts, these ideas of government working together to do more with less and to continue those kinds of services that people expect with less as we go forward, because we will never have enough, I don't think, revenue to do all of the things that government needs to do. And then the last thing is to figure out a way of attracting investment internally, so people are willing and able to invest their own money in this community, in their own community, and to bring and attract monies from the outside, whether they be public monies from the federal government or the state government or private monies, to be invested here to create family wage jobs. These are the five things that I think of off the top of my head. But again, it's really up to the council to kind of give me that direction as they go forward, and we're going to implement what it is they'd like to do.
KINS, News and Information Times 340. Does anybody else feel like they just had a political speech? We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. He's almost survived a second show. You realize that?
I do realize that.
Only been winged a couple of times, eh?
Just a couple.
So, Bill, if you could talk to Bill 2 months ago, what have you learned that you would have shared with him to make the first 2 months either more effective or more efficient?
You know, that's a great question. I probably, and this wasn't possible, but I probably would have liked to have started a little bit earlier. It was hard enough for me to get in here to start on January 1st, but, you know, if I had time to have more time to learn more, you know, back in, if I was, you know, working in November or even December and had more time.
Playing tourist or working side by side?
No, working in the city
with Dave.
With David, yeah. and experiencing the organization so that when I got to January 1, I knew as much as I know today, or I'll know a month from now. So it's all about the learning, and that's why I'm taking as long as I need, as long as I can, to be a good student and listen to not only people inside of the city, but to people who are outside of the city, our context, you know, our partners, and learn as much as I can in every conversation, including the ones here, frankly, I've learned from.
So. Who to stay away from?
Yeah. No, it's been good.
At all costs, oh, stay away from Marsh Road. We'll never annex Marsh.
Yeah, that's it.
As you look forward to the next little bit, you know, and I know you're still kind of getting your feet underneath you and you're trying to get some solid bearings. What's getting you the most excited? What do you see that's out there that's bubbling that you're going to be able either to help facilitate or take authorship with?
I'm really excited about two things. One, the council, myself, are going to look at their vision, their vision statement. They did a visioning exercise back in November of 2012. We're going to relook at that again and streamline it and focus it towards some doable things each year that we can translate into our budget. That might sound a little dry for some folks, but that's the kind of stuff that excites me because it gives us a clear sense of where the council wants us to go, and then we can turn that into a budget document and expenditures towards those goals, and then everybody is rowing in the same direction, and then we can repeat that over and over again. I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about in the next month or so, that we're going to be able to get to the streamlining of the strategic plan of the vision, and then the budget.
You know, practice singing the Hallelujah chorus?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, just before the meeting start, a little something exciting there.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe some team building exercise. Something.
Practice high fives, huh?
Something like that.
Oh, you surprised about that lawsuit about opening with a prayer? The mayor's meeting.
I mean, yeah, I don't have an opinion about it. I mean, it's obviously an open legal thing, but you know, it's a potential lawsuit, so we don't really comment on those things. But I think that the president of the United States has a prayer breakfast, I believe. The governor, I think, does those kinds of things. So it's interesting. It's something that we we'll look at and over the next few weeks.
How much does that kind of stuff, I'll say the little surprise challenges, that's about as sterile as I can get, taking your day, is that 5%, 10%, 30%? What does that kind of stuff account for?
That's a great question. It's probably a third, you know, and I like that part. I mean, the part where things are changing and it's not part of the plan, it's part of the joy of the job. And part of the interesting work of being a city manager is that you never know what your day is going to entail. You might have a plan at the beginning of the morning, and that plan does not actually occur through the rest of the day. And so it's about that balance and allowing for that to occur and being able to pivot and go with the flow of what the issues are today. Today we had a fire at the Blue Heron Motel, and 14 people, or 14 apartments, the occupants of 14 apartments were displaced. And that just happened at 8:00 this morning. And so your day as a city manager does not always go as planned.
Okay, you got me. Blue Heron Hotel, where's that?
It's, if I'm looking at the information from the fire department, it's down on Broadway 101, down in the area of the mall.
Okay, okay.
Motel down that way.
I just wasn't one I leapt out at me, that's all.
Yeah, well, so you never know.
Okay, yeah. Do you ever say, are you kidding me? When these things pop up, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, you always have something new. That's what makes the job very interesting, is there's always a new challenge and something that you hadn't seen before. The hope is that you've had enough experience in enough areas that you can look at your toolbox, grab a tool out of it, and take care of the problem, fix the problem. And so that's what I try to do.
Thanks for coming by.
I really appreciate
Two
it.
Two down, 438 to go.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. Join us Monday morning for more talk shop. Monday afternoon, sorry. See you then.